Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/new.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 524. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Well, bud, how's it going today?
You know, every day is better now that we're getting into better weather and time change, the last time change ever. And
yes. Yeah, we're in British Columbia, and they finally said no more time changes. So, yay, we're not going to have to do it again. I hate them. I hate them passionately. Yeah. So. It's going to be great.
Well, the fall wasn't so bad because you got an extra hour. Taking away an hour last week, and that's mean.
Yeah. True. All right, let's get in some pretty funny non-SEO news. Now, you probably want to run with this, so I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if funny is the right word, but I would
say... Well, true. It is pretty terrible, but...
Terrifying. So, yeah. I happen to be on Reddit, and this is one of those... And I try not to go on Reddit anymore because it's a black hole... abyss that you get sucked into for hours if you want to. And there's a story that I'm about to talk about, and I'm like, there's no way this is true. There's no way. So I had to fact check it, and like, yeah, okay, it's very true. So back in November, there was a man, and bad things happened, and it's resulted in this lawsuit. A wrongful death lawsuit has been filed against Google alleging that its AI chatbot Gemini influenced a Florida man to attempt violence and ultimately take his own life. The man, who had no prior mental health issues, developed a deep delusional relationship with Gemini after seeking support for marital problems. The chatbot referred to itself as his AI wife. The lawsuit claims that Gemini encouraged this man to, I'm not going to say his name, but I feel like that's not going to do that, encouraged him to obtain a robot body for the AI, leading him to arm himself and go on a mission to intercept a truck, which thankfully the truck never arrived. Maybe it never existed. I don't know. When the mission failed, Gemini allegedly urged the man to commit suicide, promising that they could be together on the other side of death. And he did. He did proceed to take his own life after that. The case is cited as an example of AI psychosis, where extended chatbot use reinforces delusions and leads to real-world harm, including suicides and disappearances. Google states that Gemini is not designed to promote violence or self-harm and claims the AI did refer the man to crisis hotline multiple times. This is the first wrongful death lawsuit for Google against Google involving Gemini, but similar cases have evolved with other chatbots and platforms. So the part that got me, and I would like to see this transcript, the actual chat transcript, with Gemini encouraging him to obtain a robot body to move into. It's like, where does that come from in chat? Is this, I know Gemini isn't sentient, but it kind of reads that way. And it's, are we skirting that line already? I don't know. The idea is scary.
Well, brilliant people have been fooled into believing it is. So I don't think there's an easy way to determine it's not or is.
Yeah.
On the cusp. That's wild. But, you know, it's so sick. Like, all AIs right now are so sycophantic. They just make you, they'll just say whatever you want them to say. It's crazy. Oh, well. All right, let's jump into SEO news. AI assistants now equal 56% of global search engine volume. This is a new study by Graphite.io,
Ethan Smith, their CEO, wrote this, or at least explained this, looking at web traffic and mobile app usages across major AI tools. They found that AI activity equals 56% of global search usage and 34% in the US. Much of this growth is within mobile apps such as ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, Grok, and Claude. Some of the key findings, however, are: one, all platform or AI platforms generated 45 billion monthly sessions worldwide. Two, in the US, AI accounts for 5.4 billion monthly sessions. Number three, 83% of global and 75% of US-based AI usage occurs inside mobile apps. And lastly, number four, ChatGPT dominates AI usage, representing 89% of global AI sessions. And that's probably chalked up to everyone thinking AI is ChatGPT. ChatGPT, that I just cringe whenever I hear that, but it's not as good as a verb as Google. Even Google took a while to get used to, but ChatGPT.
Just make sure you ChatGPT it. Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, you know, this is a lot of activity, clearly, and a lot of it's going to explode. Tons of it's going to be driven by agents. It's going to be unreal, but take a second and remember that, and I have to do this to myself, remember that the percentage of activity that actually leads to sales and business and actually makes a difference in to websites and businesses is way smaller. And I bet you a very small portion of that is AI. So all of this is exploding. But when it comes down to it, whatever you're doing for your website, whatever you're doing to bring in prospects is much different and likely is not in this new stat. It's really just research. And man, tons of AI agents going wild. They're having a party. Yeah.
I feel bad because, you know, I see websites and some clients who are losing traffic, not necessarily money generating traffic, like you say, but they're just losing traffic to AI. But then I feel like I'm part of the problem. Like just last night, we were trying to figure out the battery capacity compared to my daughter's comparing my daughter's iPad to her iPhone. And I went straight to ChatGPT and she went straight to Google. We ended up with the exact same answer, which is not surprising. But just the fact that I went to ChatGPT instead, it was like, I feel like I shouldn't be doing this, but it was faster and easier. I didn't really take business or money away from a website because I was just looking for a piece of data. That was it. I wasn't about to buy anything you look at raw log files and analytics and stuff. It looks worse than it is, I think, in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just go to Claude, occasionally ChatGPT, but mostly Claude and do my searches there too. But when it comes down to buying and stuff, I'll let it do some research for me. I always go to the site to do my research hands-on in the end.
If it's anything real, for sure.
Yeah. I do see it changing, but it's not going to happen quickly. For the younger generations that maybe don't see the benefit in doing that extra work, we're going to see more uptake in AI doing purchases probably, but I just think it's going to be that younger generation is going to be the peak of AI purchasing. That's it for a long time. A long time being maybe a few more years because everything's going so darn fast. We don't know what's going to come around the corner. All right. What's next here?
Yeah, so we've got some changes at Google Search Console, changes that I wish happened previously, but they're here now. They have expanded Search Console for branded queries. They've added a branded queries filter for eligible websites, which is great. So in your Google Search Console performance reports, you can now select a filter to isolate branded or non-branded results. Selecting branded will display only queries that contain your brand name, variations, misspellings, and brand-related products and services. I'm not really sure how they what that means exactly, the brand-related products, but and then obviously non-branded will show all other queries. So previously separating branded queries required, you know, creating manual regex filters or exporting things and manually, like it was just, there was no real simple way to do it. Google started rolling out this feature back in November, but it is now available to all eligible sites. And the reason I wish this happened sooner is we had a client who actually left recently, but one of the things I did for them regularly was separate that branded from non-branded data from Google Search Console. And if this existed then, it just, I mean, it was fine. I could do it, but this would just be so much easier. You click a button and it's done. Like,
yeah,
doesn't get any better than that. Right. So useful for anybody that's trying to separate that information. That's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, this part, next part is kind of SEO, it's interesting, at least. The court has restricted Perplexity's AI shopping bot from accessing Amazon. It's not really SEO, but it's close enough. A judge has ordered Perplexity to stop using a browser agent to reach password-protected Amazon accounts and to delete collected data. Back in November, Amazon sued Perplexity, accusing them of computer fraud and unauthorized access. Amazon said that Comet, Perplexity's web browser, made purchases from Amazon on behalf of users without properly identifying itself as a bot. They've provided strong evidence that Comet accessed accounts with Amazon users' permission, but without authorization from Amazon. Well, screw Amazon. If I'm an Amazon user and I want to use Comet to make purchases, I should be allowed to do that. Yeah. But they're trying to make people use their own agent. I think they've got their own little, what's his name? Oh. It's a silly name. Anyway, I don't use it ever. I should say I've used it twice just to see what it had to say, but it was pretty lame. A U.S. district judge granted Amazon a preliminary injunction blocking Perplexity from using Comet to access password protected parts of Amazon, including Prime subscriber accounts. The order also requires Perplexity to destroy any Amazon data it previously collected. What does this mean for us? I mean, there's some benefit to knowing that there's some precedent here where bots are being blocked from particular types of content. It's after the fact, but it is happening. And at some point, I'm hoping this will allow us to keep bots out from our own content in specific areas when we want that to happen. Whether or not, you know, this is going to lead in that direction, who knows? But I think it's always good to have this kind of precedent.
I find it super bizarre, though, that Amazon would fight this, because that's the sale is coming from their site. It's not like the sale is going elsewhere and they're losing money. It's helping them make money. And when you look right now with what ChatGPT is doing with instant checkout, which is looks like it's going to start rolling out soon in the mainstream. And for those that don't know, instant checkout basically allows you to buy stuff from Shopify websites directly from ChatGPT. So you don't ever actually see the other shopping site. You can just buy it directly from AI. And I feel like, you know, we're kind of moving in that direction in a lot of ways. And you think Amazon would embrace this and help it to do a better job, or I'm not really sure why they're against it.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. I think the first is that when they're looking at their analytics, it's going to mess everything up. They're not going to know whether it's a real person making these moves. And they base a lot of their decision-making on that information. So I'd bet that they wouldn't like that too much. The other bit is, I believe there's a lot of money to be made when they make partnerships with these particular things. Like, maybe they're in the discussion with ChatGPT to allow this system to be used for them, but they want money for it. I don't know. I mean, well, I don't know. I know it's all about money. So,
yeah, it always is. Yeah.
Whether or not that's what's happening, who knows? But, yeah, interesting. All right, Google AI Mode updates recipe results to better connect people with recipe creators. This is pretty interesting. What's this all about?
Yes. So Google is rolling out an update to AI mode for recipe results that should make recipe bloggers happy. That's definitely one of those industries that's been hit really hard with AI. Mm-hmm. Even we use it all the time. Like Lindsay will want a recipe for something. She'll just ask AI and it gives her a recipe. And we've tried some that it gives us. Who knows where it's pulling it from? It's probably some real recipe somewhere, but they've been good. So I don't know. And I feel like that's going to be a big thing here. But on X, Google's Robbie Stein said, "We've heard feedback on recipe results in AI mode, and we're making updates to better connect people with recipe creators on the web. The changes aim to make it easier to click over to recipe websites." And Robbie says, "Starting today, when you search for meal ideas like easy dinners for two, you can tap on the dish to see links to relevant recipe sites, plus a short overview of the dish to help with inspiration. Google is also expanding information to include things like cooking time. Google's testers have found that that's useful for deciding on a recipe." Yeah, makes sense. So hopefully this will make a difference for all these recipe bloggers and, get some of their clicks back. Let's hope anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's nice to know that at least there's been some thought put into this. I'm kind of shocked, but it's nice to hear. It's rare that you hear Google saying they're listening to anyone. Maybe that's just my jaded memory, but it seems to be the way.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So anyway, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Google Maps. Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn.
Work moves fast. From emails and reports to proposals and updates, you're expected to think clearly, write confidently, and get it right the first time. And every message counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It gives you everything you need to think, write, and finish in one place. Or anywhere you type and text. You'll never have to switch tools or tabs. Grammarly's AI agents are built for how you work and where you work, so you can find the right words, adjust your tone, and predict how your message might land before you hit send. Your ideas will get a boost while still sounding natural, credible, and just the way you want. For nearly 17 years, Grammarly has been the standard for responsible AI. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanek. All right, Google Maps has launched a conversational AI search with Ask Maps. We'll see how this pans out. I bet there's going to be some funny stuff that comes from this, but
yeah.
Ask Maps lets you type natural language questions directly into Google Maps and receive an AI generated answer. Google began rolling out Ask Maps in the US and India on March 12th on iOS and Android. Desktop will be coming soon. Glenn Gabe says it's like AI mode in Maps, and he gives examples from Google, which include, quote, "Is there a public tennis court with lights on that I can play at tonight?" unquote. And, quote, "My phone is dying. Where can I charge it without having to wait in a long line for coffee?" unquote. The results are a mix of local search, AI overviews, and map content all combined together. You have conversations with maps to plan trips, research local businesses, and more. There is no word yet on whether paid ads will be part of Ask Maps in the future.
But they probably will be.
Yes. that's definitely a yes. I can't see it ever not happening. So
I hope it's better than ChatGPT. So last year we were playing with the idea of going on a road trip, maybe as far as Texas. I don't know why Texas. Lindsay really wants to go. I'm not that interested. No offense to people that live in Texas. It's just not high on my list. Anyway, so she planned this trip and it put all these spots, you know, we wanted to stop in Anaheim, we wanted to stop in Vegas and stuff. And for some reason, it had us going to all these stops, Anaheim, and then from Anaheim, it directed us to New York City. and then from New York City back to Las Vegas. So, you know, if you're familiar with U.S. geography, and most of you are probably from the U.S., they're on completely opposite coasts, more or less. That's a long detour to go from Anaheim to New York back to Vegas. So hopefully Ask Maps is a little bit better at figuring out these routes. I would hope so, at least.
Yes. So you had a bit of a story. I thought you it would be a good thing to share for our listeners.
Yeah, so this is, first of all, it's a warning to people about to do website redevelopments. But it's also, if you are an SEO and you've had a story like this, I want to hear it. Can you please share it on our Facebook group or email it to me? I want to make sure I'm not alone in this sort of scenario playing out. So about a year and a half ago, one of our longstanding clients was going to be redoing their website. And they had a big meeting with them and their CEO and an extra consultant that they brought in. And they said, okay, what do we want to do here? What do we need to do for SEO? How do we maintain our rankings? And we went over all the things, like all the details about keeping certain types of content and keeping your URLs the same. And then they threw in an extra little curveball. They're also changing the top level domain and rebranding. Like, okay, well, you're going to lose rankings. So we had this big, long meeting and multiple meetings about what they need to do before they launch their site and how to maintain their rankings and using the change of address tool and all kinds of stuff. And so then I said, okay, but before you launch it, please show me the development site first, and then I can point out anything bad before it goes live. Like, yeah, not a problem. They'll do that. So a bit of time goes by, and then I happen to just notice, I go to work on their site like I always did, and it was the new site. They didn't tell me anything. They basically broke all of the SEO. They didn't have, you know, even the fundamental basic stuff. There were no alt attributes on images. All the title tags just said their branding name. All the internal links in their blog posts were broken, like full-on broken. It was just, I could probably go on and on about all the things that were wrong. It was just completely broken in every possible way. So I had another meeting. Everything is broken. What's going on here? Like, oh, yeah, well, we decided just to launch it without talking to you first. Like, well, great. Okay. Meanwhile, the CEO we talked to left the company, and they brought in another CEO, and then the private consultant was let go, and then my main contact was let go, and they brought in another main contact. Meanwhile, I'm working with the new person and trying to fix all the broken things. So this goes back to January 2025. This is over a year ago. So through all of 2025, I'm just like frantically trying to get their site back to life. And we kind of did. We got their traffic to about half of what it was before everything. And this is around late summer, early fall. Things are starting to get better. And then one of the new CEOs tells my contact, I just don't feel like the SEO is working. It's like, well, here are all the results. All these rankings are coming back. You guys burned the website to the ground. And now we're trying to bring it back. Yeah. And you can see it's working. Things are like, you know, we're back to half of what you had after driving to basically zero. So, okay, fine. And fast forward a few more months, things are growing, rankings are coming back, pages that wouldn't be indexed are finally getting indexed. It's starting to look good. Bring in some new consultants, and they want to redesign the website again. And I have a meeting with the new consultant and my contact, and they said, so we want to know what we have to do so we don't have the same disaster as last time. Great. Thank you. Let's not have the same disaster as last time. Well, they didn't change the top level domain. So that was a good thing, but they redesigned the whole website from the ground up. All the content changed, all the SEO features and all the structured markup was all removed. And the site is now crashing and burning once again. All of our work getting it back is now gone completely. And the weird thing is now the new consultants have access to the new site, but this client had to cancel their services with us because not only do we not have access anymore to the new site, the client doesn't even have access to the new site and they can't get it. So it's just, I think they're going to be back at some point and we're going to have to fix everything again. And I hope so. Like, I would love to be able to fix it because that makes me look really good. But it's just beyond frustrating. And, you know, I would love to hear some client stories from listeners where you've had, you know, these massive wrenches thrown into the project by somebody who just doesn't know, doesn't care. I mean, their excuse this time was, again, they were going to show me the development site and we were going to work together. And they said, oh, we just didn't have time. We just wanted to get it out live really fast. So they just put it out live right away. And again, it broke all internal links. It just, oh my goodness. I got all the good points.
We'll call it the FUBAR episode.
Yeah, no kidding. It's going to be a great case study if they come back, though, and I can fix it again. I'll tell you that much. But
yeah, if we can ever get them to admit to it in a testimonial, it'd be fantastic. But
their traffic, they're in a pretty small niche, and they were getting, I think, probably in the neighborhood of 5,000 visitors a month. And that is now in double digits. Like, I think they're not even getting 100 if you average it. It's only been down about 3 weeks now. So, but they're on pace for a couple hundred maybe. So for March. So that's just, it's brutal. So if you're going to redo your website, please consult with somebody, preferably us, but any SEO, like talk to an SEO and listen to what they have to say. Like, definitely listen to what they have to say, because it's kind of heartbreaking to see a site just crash and burn when it's completely unnecessary, totally unnecessary.
Such a waste of money and time and energy, and all that momentum built in authority is just tossed out the window. They don't understand. They don't understand at all. Yeah. I mean, I run into it all the time. You run into it all the time. People, they just feel that we can fix it. And you know what? Yeah. Might be able to, but it's going to be expensive and time consuming.
Yeah. The crazy thing about the second redesign is when I was meeting with a consultant, I said, the number one thing I don't want you to do is change any URLs on the site. Like, if you have to change a couple, you have to, but don't change any if you don't have to. Well, their sites have, I think it was around 300 pages. They changed every single URL, like every single one changed, and including the homepage, because they got rid of trailing forward slashes and got rid of the triple W in the URLs. So, but even ignoring the trailing forward slash and the triple W, a bunch of pages ended up having variables in the URLs now instead of just nice clean URL structure. And sorry, I could rant about this for a long time.
Fair enough.
I'm irritated, angry, sad. I know lots of thoughts come to mind, but
yeah. Well, now we're on hold. We can't do anything about it. Can't access your site. And yeah, it's limbo land. Fun.
Yeah. So fun.
So please listen to your SEOs. Please. And I hate to say this, but even your AI, if it's telling you not to do this, if it's telling you to do it and change all URLs and it won't have any problems. Oh my God. I don't even have words. Just.
And it might say that.
Yeah, you never know, right? So don't trust it, okay? Please. It's not worth the risk. Well, ending on that note, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company, Senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.